Well, Thompson was four up in this last set, and they have four all. So it really is tight. He'd pull back? No. Hello.
Thompson can put this beyond doubt by drawing the shot. There. 4 or 5 feet short. David Bryant asking for two. that's one. And that's the one that Andy pushed up. The measure of two. Thompson, wondering exactly what he's going to do to take a grip on this game. Looked an almost certain winner after the first two sets. Then the wheels fell off.
Golly, he's now up 5-4.
Do you think if you just sweep that up?
Yeah.
Before they say you're going to be down again. I find bending down is the most difficult thing I do, you know.
Yeah.
Could win the match with three shots. Thompson, of course, did score three shots on the first end of this set. But apart from that, he's been a bit rather quiet in the later stages of this game. Big chance, though, if he can make this one count. To put the pressure right back into it, Bryant. Because if David Bryant misses with this final delivery, Andy Thompson will have a simple draw for the match. Can he pass the front bowls? No, he can't. Oh dear, no. A very poor end from David Bryant, the first poor end.
No, he could now lose it. He could now lose it on the last ball.
Anywhere within 18 inches of the track will give Thompson a place in the quarter-finals.
He's missed it. He's only got two and he wanted three. So, so now it's so he wants one and Bryant wants two. Gracious me. Bryant thought he'd lost it then. He should have done, really. It was. No, I think. Oh, I don't know. He's an exiled Scot.
Although, of course, he's wearing the blue of Scotland, isn't he?
Well, of course, they have to wear different colours anyway, don't they? Short, isn't it?
For his final game, Andy Thompson in
the yeah. Let's put up a medium length jacket. No, medium length.
So.
Well, Thompson needs one and Bryant needs two. That's Thompson. He has worked hard. He only needed two at the last end. Thompson needed three. But he just had sort of... He wasn't so good. Well, that's a better ball. If he'd have done that in the last end, he'd have won it.
And they come down and sort of go around the back because that other fellow sort of... He came down.
Mm.
And then he appeared up the top there.
And they come down to see what the situation really is.
Some further though than
desperately
unlucky. The word or the jack should have been enough. Well, presumably they have to throw, or they're supposed to throw, or have they not? Because he just said that should have been enough.
He's getting me worried. Oh, eee.
Well, that's better than the other
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Could be two. They've each got two more.
They've each got two more balls.
Mm.
Bowls, I must call them. He's going to try and knock.
Going for something again.
Yeah. Ball's going right through. He's trying to knock David out, of course, isn't he?
And drop himself in. Yeah. I should think he's now got one red, I should think.
I suppose you could say David had it so often. Maybe it'd be nice for somebody else to get it.
I should think David will come in on the forehand and try and knock that blue ball out. The one that's...
He's only got one there.
Mm, sure. I thought he'd only got one. Interestingly, which way he comes. I think he'll come around this way. Oh, no, he's not. He's coming around back the other way. Ooh! I just probably only one red still.
Well, how extraordinary. David Bryant. He really took something of a chance there, playing for the jack in the backhand.
It still is one.
Still only got one.
It's been a great ball, but well, from his point of view, no fortune. He's just moved the jack so that he's now lying. Still one, but a different one.
So he's got three,
and
this is the fourth one from this
side. That's right.
Then Bryant has the last one.
Only one ball to do it with.
This is it. It's short.
Expected Thompson to reach for that. Thompson's had his chances over the last few ends, but
So it just leaves David to get through. Did he do what he had to this last four, really?
Well, yeah. If he gets another red, he's won the match. But if he plays it and misses it, he could give it to Thompson. And if he doesn't play, it'll be a draw. Yes, he needs two. Thompson didn't play his.
The forehand is relatively safe for David. It's I'm not saying it's straightforward, but there really is plenty of room. It's a big swinging hand. He could easily come down to a short ball. Turn it on for the guy. No, it seems to be favouring the back for some reason.
It's all or nothing on this one. No, it's one all. It's one red, so they're now six all.
On the portable rink. It's not been a happy hunting ground for him. Three times England champion on the trot. British champion, UK champion, looking to win the world crown for the first time. David Bryant is around second round match. The man who won the world title the first three times of asking in 1979, 1980 and 1981. Looking faithfully to the backhand, he knows that the line is there. It's all a matter of getting the weight right. Get the weight right and not the line. The want of just an inch or two more grass, but it all ends up over. Trying to block this backhand. I think a pretty shrewd move too. I can't remember David Bryant playing many moves at all down the forehand in this direction. Although he certainly plenty of options. He can draw, he can play with controlled weight, he could drive. But there's a nice big hole there too. But if he draws, which other hand he decides to play, he has to get within 4 inches of the jack. If he fails to do that, he's out of the championship.
Brian has now got to draw within 4 inches of the jack, otherwise he's out.
This could be David Bryant's final delivery in the 1992 championship. The upright stance told everyone he was going to fire. That interested the crowd enough to speculate, and that stopped him in his tracks. Now, resetting himself, firing shot on the forehand, the bowl or the jack.
He's fired a shot and he's missed. So that's out. Yeah, it's Thompson. Couldn't be closer, mind you, could it? 2-all and 6-all.
Andy, David, we should congratulate you both because it was a marvellous game of bowls, but Andy, you obviously are the one who goes through with some relief, I would imagine.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I started off so well, you know, the first two sets I was really confident, playing well, and then all of a sudden David got the jack and he changed the length, and from there I started to struggle. To be honest, David really did dominate in the last 3 sets.
You did well to keep that head up because you had a chance to take a 3 to win the match a couple of ends earlier. And that was a good disappointment for you, of course.
Well, you've got to take chances like that in this game. You know, if you've got 18 inches to draw, you should draw the shot. But obviously, it was a big disappointment in the following end. David had a chance for the game. So I've held on.
David, you too had your chances, of course, because you played a disappointing ball when you had the chance to pick up 2 shots as well.
Yes, it wasn't quite straightforward because I could have given it away. If I'd have played the forehand, there was a chance there, but I think my own shot ball could have killed me. In other words, I had to get round it and there wasn't a lot of room. I think, you know, in the back of my mind was I could have given it away off the backhand.
And yet, you obviously must have been pleased to have taken it to the fifth set because early on Andy was playing so well, wasn't he?
I started off very well. The first set I lost 2 ends, I got a 3 and a 4, but I did have a bad end on that, the last end of the first set. But I didn't play badly all the way through, and I was particularly pleased when I took the 3rd and 4th. And really, I was playing the driving seat, but Andy pulled himself together at the beginning of the 5th set, and it was knitting tough from there on in.
You obviously must be disappointed, David, as everyone keeps saying. It's a while now since you've won this title. Do you genuinely feel that you have still as good a chance as ever of becoming world champion again?
Well, I think I played probably better this year than I played for several years. I was very satisfied with my game. I took Andy, you know, to 7-6 in the 10th set, and I wouldn't be so surprised if he'd go through a minute.
Andy, would you agree with that? Are you confident?
Oh, I was very confident, you know, apart from the last couple of sets, I guess, you know, but I'm playing very good balls, and I've just got to keep my head, and I've got a good chance.
Obviously, say you know, meeting Jim McKenna and Stephen Reeson, that game in fact is underway at the moment at 6-6 in the first set. They're in a very tight one. You know Stephen better than Jim
McKenna. Yes, I mean, I don't really know Jim at all. I mean, I know he's got a very good record in the Scottish Championships, but I certainly know Stephen, and Stephen's a very good player. So, but whoever wins will be a tough game.
Well, there we are. There's the caption, which shows just how this tournament is working out, and it's so wide open. There's so many good players, Andy, aren't there?
Oh, yes, there is. I mean, I think from the top, I mean, you could have, I mean, Richard Corsi number one against Jim Baker. Now, Jim Baker's, although he's not been playing lately, he could still cause an upset. So, I mean, I don't think there's any game where you could pick out who's going to win or any of them. I mean, Mammy Gary Smith there playing David Cork Young, and Gary, to be honest, didn't play well in the pairs, but he's a very good player, and, you know, he could be very dangerous, Gary.
And for you, David, obviously there's still the prospect of the pairs, which you and Tony have dominated for the last 5 out of the last 6 years. Obviously, you'd like to win that one again, just to make up for the day.
Yes, that's something else to concentrate on, and we should be trying hard.
What about the championship as a whole? We've seen very good crowds again. This is a super venue for the World Championship, David, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And I think, you know, each year the standard gets better, certainly better in depth anyway. I mean, all the games have been good. There haven't been any sort of obvious wins. Anything's happened,
there's
been quite a few shots already.
And I'm sure there'll be a few more to come, but well done, Thibaut, for a marvellous game of centre. Thanks very much indeed. So there we are. Andy Thompson wins a tremendous battle in the final set and goes through 3-2. And this championship moves on to provide, I'm sure, some marvellous entertainment over the next few days. We're back tomorrow afternoon on BBC Two at 2:15. And one of the matches we're looking forward to particularly, of course, is the game between Richard Corsi, the defending champion, and Jim Baker from Northern Ireland, who's been talking about giving the game up, but of course he won this title in 1984, and he'll be in the mood, perhaps, to cause an upset. So we'll see you, I hope, tomorrow afternoon at 2:15. Meantime, from all of us in Preston, goodbye for now.
Series of Top Gear. From family cars to muscle cars, on the track and off the road. We've got the old, the new, the borrowed and the blue. From the gleam to the green, and from the red hot to the seriously cool. Plus buying a classic, how to tread carefully, and all the latest sporting action. That's Top Gear on Thursday, 8:30, BBC Two.
The action continues now on to as Chris Ray introduces Rugby Special.
I was just sort of seeing if I get any more meat off the breast this side. It was really all. That looks very nice.
Become all the more important to get it right.
Well, I'll take this and pop it in the oven. It'll just keep hot. You know, if you can eat those potatoes too,
yeah.
When it comes to it, I just put them in there and then they'll be hot if you want.
It's too expensive. We buy the thing that's the closest to that key piece. Usually if the designer is good.
Yeah, which is very nice.
Of course, only done different variations. And there's one variation that is shows the look, but it is wearable, sellable.
What have you bought this spring?
I've been looking for collections that excited me. Not clothes. It's not the time for clothes. It had to be something that made me, got me excited, made me laugh, made me smile. I loved the collection of Dolce & Gabbana. I thought it was just a breath of fresh air. Also, enjoyed the collection.
Fancy going to
make him laugh, I suppose.
Fancy going to the supermarket like that.
These aren't for them.
And for a softer, gentler look, I like Ghost very much. I love the colours of the shows, I love the soft shapes, the very silky, smooth, feminine fabrics.
And what about the menswear?
I thought Comme des Garçons' ethnic look was very, very strong. Blanket stitches on with white fabric on these navy blue jackets and bits of ethnic pattern running in strips along the edges of jackets and waistcoats. That was very, very strong.
I bet Ryan sort of, he wasn't feeling he was hard done by or anything. I bet he, you know, he's always pleasant.
Competition is tough on the high street, so innovation is essential. Christine Byrne and the design team at Jigsaw are responsible for producing 300 designs each season.
Basically, you've got to sell a quantity of clothes in a season. So you've always got to have, in the back of your mind, commercial. It's got to be commercial. Well, we get a lot of feedback from all of our shops. We're in touch with all the manageresses from the shops, who are in touch with our customers. I mean, you get trends all over the country, and you know, you can analyse it into shops. So you can see what that shop is selling, then you concentrate on maybe a small range for that shop that could just suit that shop and nobody else.
What are you offering for spring?
Persian colours, colours of the desert. So that's all the hot colours that Jigsaw's really well known for doing. Red, orange, we hope, you know, is going to be a really new colour. This sort of acid yellow to cool it down. We've also done a gingham story as well, which is a provincial French girl.
That was Jigsaw, but there are plenty of other styles high street names are placing their bets on this spring and summer. Boast a stock of urban sportswear, and Glasgow is no exception. Gordon Wagstaff keeps Dr. Jives constantly replenished with new labels.
We're very rarely buying in advance. The stock we buy as it happens. So we're always like keeping one step ahead of the more mainstream shops, that's that idea. It's just, it's quite fast. We buy rapidly, and every week there's something new in.
What do you predict for spring summer? What are you offering in your shop?
This year there's a lot of flags, a lot of sort of workwear looking things, a lot of shorts. It's going to be a really easy look.
why do you think that Urban Street Rail has made such an impact?
It's relatively inexpensive, it's easy to wear and it looks good, it's comfortable.
The thing which most impresses me is if I can see that they've actually made an effort to look smart, and I get a feeling that perhaps they really want the job.
I think the thing that most impresses me is when somebody thought about what they're wearing, it looks fairly conventional, but it's also wearing something with a bit of zing, a bit of something to make you remember them.
In these hard times, young people leaving school need all the help they can get. A recent survey published by the Gap Association said that employers put personal appearance high on the list of priorities, but that 82% of school leavers fail in this area. We invited sixth form students from the George Green School on the Isle of Dogs come along dressed for that big, all-important interview to see how they tackle the challenge of dressing for success. What made you pick the outfit that you're wearing today?
Well, it's quite smart. And not too fleshy.
Right, okay, take a seat. Now, Anne, what's your first impression of the way Dawn is dressed, bearing in mind that she's actually going into maybe the creative arts?
I think it's very smart. I think if she's going to creative arts as opposed to industry or retail, I think probably the trouser suit is quite acceptable. The overall effect's a bit monochrome, I think, would be my way of looking at it. Right.
Kurt, does she come across to you on your first impression as a creative person?
No, not as a creative person. I would like to see a little bit of makeup.
But I thought employers were always a bit nervous about people wearing too much makeup.
Yeah, a bit too much, just a little bit.
Right, Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Excellent. Great. Maxine, I mean, well-trained eye there. What were your impressions as Stephen walked through the door?
Yeah, my first impression was that he looked very interesting. And I think that he's obviously given some thought to the things that he's wearing. He's attempted to make himself look a bit different. As far as his retail
goes. Yeah, that's what I thought. The hair would put me off. I know it shouldn't.
I don't
get nervous if you use normally.
Yeah, I'm very nervous.
So, do clothes give you a confidence if you're a nervous person? You pay special attention to your clothes?
Well, I do, because normally I'd wear trousers, but so I've got a skirt on. I'd rather be interesting.
Right.
You don't like the.
Claire looks very nice, actually.
Cats.
For coming to a job in office.
Well, I've had. I'm not, you know.
She's wearing a shortish skirt. I think the length she's got is fine. I wouldn't advise people to go much shorter for an interview. Earrings, perhaps just a touch smaller to be on the safe side, but overall, I think she looks very nice.
Sharawan Hussein, yes?
Yeah.
Great, good morning. Did you get the suit specially for this interview, or was it a suit you owned already?
I owned it.
And is this the sort of the suit that you pull out when you're going to go for an interview?
Yeah. No. I haven't been in any more interviews.
So this is the first interview?
Yeah.
So why did you pick the suit for the interview?
To look smart.
Right, Anne, first impressions, the sort of 60-second thumbnail sketch.
Very smart. The embroidered collar makes him look a little bit different. The new mind there.
Right. Clara?
Hello.
Alex Liddell, is that right?
Right.
Yeah. So
I think it's a very nice outfit. She's obviously thought about what she's wearing. The only thing I might change, I think, is bearing in mind that a lot of models do have conservative tastes when you're going for interview. I think a girl is often safe and flexible to wear a skirt rather than trousers.
Has anybody said that to you before, Alex?
Yeah. I don't like the shelter skirts. It's a little bit sexy fashion.
Leave this up, I'll do this. Go on. Well, I know. Okay. Come on.
There's another one. Yeah, if you want to, I can leave it till tomorrow.
Oh, leave it till tomorrow, I should think.
Shut up. You just
idea behind the Big Circle was to create a showcase for like-minded designers. First, we would like to show here in the UK twice a year, and then eventually the group would grow and we would like to have them show for major cities. I feel there's already evidence to show that we are successful. We have
This is lovely. Very refreshing, isn't it?
Same clothes, same style.
Deference and
choices. Different makes, different same gear, same craft.